Hey, Russell Evans here. We're so excited that you've joined us today at Planet Seekers Church. We trust this message will impact and change your life.
This year, Pastor Russell has declared over us, it is the year of breakthrough and glory. Breakthrough and glory. Warp speed. That what God is doing in our midst, He wants to break us through. And I believe there is so much that God has in store for us. And as one of the promises that was wrapped up in this year, the word breakthrough, was the faith that God was going to break us forward and launch us forward and break us into freedom like we've never experienced before. You know, sometimes we get the sense in our life like we can take two steps forward and then we kind of get pulled one step back. Two steps forward, but then one step back. For some of you, maybe it might feel like two steps forward and then like 15 steps back. I don't know. And one of the promises this year was that God was going to break us free and break us through into a level of freedom that we haven't experienced before. No going forward, pulling back, going forward, pulling back, but that God was going to launch us forward and set us free from those things that might try and bind us back. Because the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I'm here to declare to you tonight that God has freedom for you. God has breakthrough for you. God has liberty for you. That's His promise. God has called us into a life of freedom, not held back, not bound up, not locked down, not shut up, but into a life of breakthrough. Freedom. That's why we're encouraged in the Word. The Word says that greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. Because the deal is, we need this encouragement. We need this reminder to understand greater than He. It's not my inner man that's greater than any opposition. It's the power of God in me. It's not me. It's the power of God in me. It is the Holy Spirit in me. That the Bible says about the Spirit's power, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. That's not just positive thinking and a positive mindset. That is powerful living and a powerful revelation. That greater is He that is in me than any opposition I come up against in the world. And we need this reminder, because we will come up against opposition. That's why that reminder is in the Bible. And Pastor Russell has been encouraging us recently as he's been preaching. He's been preaching about the name of the Lord brings breakthrough. And it's so true, because if you know the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord is who He is. And if you know who God is, then you know His character. And if you know His character, then you know the power of Him who lives in you. And that's why the name of the Lord brings breakthrough. But, you know, as this symbol above me illustrates, this symbol here, this triangle, circles, we're not like worshiping geometry or anything. It's just symbolic. It's nothing more than that. It's not about triangles and circles. It illustrates like breaking through the sound barrier. And you start out here with your speed. And as you begin to speed up, there's pressure that begins to build. That's what these circles are. And as the pressure, as you get faster and faster, the circles may decrease in size, but they get wider. The pressure builds. And as you get towards this point, the pressure builds and builds and builds and builds until you are at this point of breakthrough, and then the result is exponential. Breakthrough. You know, this week I was watching this video. Can we put up that welcome to church sign? I was watching this video, and I don't know if you've seen it before. This guy looks like an astronaut, but he's actually not. He's a skydiver. He's an Austrian guy named Felix Baumgartner. How's that for a name? That's a mouthful. And he skydived. He set the world record a few years ago. He skydived from what looks like the edge of space. He was almost 40 kilometers up in the air, 128,000 feet. So he set the world record for the highest skydive ever. He's standing on the edge of a capsule that's attached to a big helium balloon right there. And as he's standing on the edge, he's about to do what no person has done before. No one has ever skydived from that high up. But not only did he skydive from so high up, he is also the first person to ever break the sound barrier without being protected by an aircraft. And many of you probably would have seen an aircraft break the sound barrier before, and you can literally see the sound barrier as it is broken, tailing behind the aircraft. And the pressure builds, and the aircraft faces turbulence as it gets closer and closer to the sound barrier. And so no one knew in that moment what the effect would be on the human body of just a human body breaking the sound barrier. Can I tell you what the dramatic effect on the human body was? He skydived from like 40 kilometers. By the time he broke the sound barrier, he'd already fallen about 10 kilometers. So he was still about 30 kilometers off the ground, and they could hear it on the ground when he broke the sound barrier. Boom, boom. They heard it. And do you know what the dramatic effect on his body was? Nothing. No effect. In fact, if you watch video of it, he just looks peaceful. There's nothing going on. And that, attached to this revelation that God has given us, this prophetic declaration that God has given us, that this is the year of breakthrough and glory, that should be an encouragement to you. Because sometimes in life, as God is bringing you to a place of breakthrough, the pressure in your life begins to build. And the enemy would love to convince you that you can't do it. He would love to convince you that the pressure is too much. He would love you to feel like you can never do what God has called you to do, that you could never carry what God has called you to carry. But just like the effect on his body was nada, I'm here to declare to you tonight that this is what you were created for. This is what you were born for. This is what God's put you on this earth for. That it may feel like the pressure's building, that the enemy may try and convince you that you can't do it, but you can do it. God has called you for such a time as this. His promises are yes and amen. Don't be defeated. Don't be intimidated by the enemy. God has a call on your life. Breakthrough and glory. See, if you will stay in faith, keep pressing in, believe for more. The reality is no weapon formed against you can prosper. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can run through a troop and leap over the wall. And though an enemy may come at you one way, he will flee from you seven ways. It's the God that we serve. See, the truth is there will be opposition. There will be things in our life that will try and halt us and hinder us from stepping into breakthrough. And when you understand this, you need to be aware of this. You need to make sure that you don't get offended by things that happen in your life. When you were approaching breakthrough and you were going through trouble and you were going through times of pressure, one of the things the enemy would love to do is to plant a seed of offense in your heart. And I want to talk to you with the few minutes we got left about this thought. No offense. No offense. Do me a favor. I'm going to give you free rein here for about the next 10 seconds. I want you to turn to your neighbor and think of what you've been wanting to tell him for a long time. And just say, no offense, but... And you just tell him, no offense, but I don't like the way you look. No offense, but your hair doesn't look good like that. No offense, but yeah, you don't smell the best. No offense, but... Go on, I dare you. Just say it. Say it. See, because we know the rules, right? The rules are that when you say no offense, they can't get offended. You can say no offense, but, and then follow it with whatever you want, but because you preface it with no offense, they can't get offended. No offense, but you're ugly. They're the rules, but that's dumb. We all know that. That's dumb. But this is how God has called us to live. With no offense. Now, quickly, before you leave the person next to you offended, just turn back to them and undo the damage you just did. Just tell them how beautiful they are. Tell them how wonderful their fragrance is. It's the fragrance of worship. Maybe they just praised a little bit harder than you did. They look wonderful. Come on, somebody. Somebody say... No offense. No offense. You see, the truth is, this is how we are called to live. In life, Most all of the time, we do not get to control what happens to us and what happens around us, but we always get to choose how we respond to what we're in the middle of. And the enemy uses offense as bait. Now, I don't know if you all are avid fisher people. I've fished a few times in my life. I'm not wildly successful, but I've caught a few fish in my time, and I understand the concept of fishing is you stick some bait on a hook and put the hook on the end of the line, you put the line in the water, you try and catch a fish. That's it. And the thing about this is that when the fish takes the bait and they get hooked on your line, all of a sudden that fish is connected to you. And that's what offense does. Is that when offense gets in your heart, you are hooked and connected to the event that you went through. And you stay connected to that event the entire time you have offense in your heart. Which is why you feel sometimes like you've been going forwards and then getting pulled backwards. Going forward and then getting pulled backwards. Because you've been tied to an event that has happened in your past. It was painful. It was real. It was offensive. But you have kept that offense in your heart. And for all this time, you've been tied to that event. And the thing about this fish is, it is tied to the boat, which means it is not free to roam. It is not free to go where it wants to go. It has no liberty. It cannot go freely where it's called to go. But not only that, if it stays hooked for long enough, then it starts getting dragged where it's not called to go. And the same thing happens to us, that the longer we keep offense in our heart, not just are we not living in freedom, but we start to get dragged down paths that we're not called to go, but the enemy would love us to go. And the enemy uses offense as bait. Offense ties us to the past. Unforgiveness cripples us. But I believe tonight that God wants to step into your situation and empower you to break free from anything holding you back. You see, some of us, for too long, you've just accepted that this is the way things are. Life is the way life is. But the truth is, you've allowed offense to stay in your heart and define you and shape you. But I want to declare to you tonight, you may not be able to change the past, but thank God with the power of Jesus, you sure can change the future from right where you're sitting right now. We better open the Bible. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. It says this, it'll be up on the screen later. Peter approached Jesus and said, "How many times do I have to forgive my fellow believer who keeps offending me?" Now, I think Peter thought he was being pretty smart here. I think Peter was going to Jesus. Peter was the oldest disciple, y'all. I reckon he was trying to prove a point to these younger disciples. I got a revelation here. You'll listen to me. I'm about to prove a point to Jesus that I got this. I got this. Jesus, how many times should I forgive someone? Not one, not two. I'm holier than that. What about seven times? Jesus looks at Peter and goes, not seven times, Peter, but 70 times seven. Now, if you all are good at maths, all my accounting students in here right now, no, that's 490 times. Now, I've been friends with Pastor BJ on the front row for many, many years now. And I've been keeping track. And right now he's up to 486. Four more things. All he has to do is four more things. And I'm going to keep offense in my heart towards him for the rest of my life. Because Jesus said I could. 490, man. You got four more. And we're done. That's not what Jesus is saying, yo. He's not literally saying you got to keep account of everything that's ever happened to you. He's just metaphorically saying over and over and over and over and over, we gotta keep forgiving, we gotta take no offense, we gotta keep forgiving, we gotta take no offense. And he goes on. Man, if you'll keep getting excited like this, we're never gonna get through this. He goes on, Jesus begins to teach. He goes, let me tell you a story, Peter. He goes, there once was a king who had servants who had borrowed money from the royal treasury. He decided to settle accounts with each of them. I'm going to skip through this story. You can read it later, Matthew chapter 18. This servant owed the king $1 billion. And the servant begged for his life and the king forgave him. And then the servant went out from the king's presence. And it says this in verse 28. He met one of his fellow servants who owed him $20,000. He seized him by the throat and began to choke him, saying, "You'd better pay me right now everything you owe me." His fellow servant threw himself face down at his feet and begged, just like he'd begged before. "Please be patient with me. If you'll just give me time, I'll repay you all that is owed." But the one who had his debt forgiven stubbornly refused to forgive what was owed to him. He had his fellow servant thrown into prison and demanded he remain there until he repaid the debt in full. So this guy got forgiven $1 billion, but then did not pass on the forgiveness to someone who owed him just a few thousand. When the associates saw what was going on, they were outraged and went to the king and told him the whole story. The king said to him, "You scoundrel, is this the way you respond to my mercy? Because you begged me, I forgave you the massive debt that you owed me. Why didn't you show the same mercy to your fellow servant that I showed you?" And in a fury of anger, the king turned him over to the prison guards to be tortured until all his debt was repaid. "In this same way, my heavenly Father will deal with any of you if you do not release forgiveness from your heart towards your fellow believer." Now, if you're still not clear about how this story relates to us, friends, we are the person who was forgiven $1 billion. I don't know how old you were when you first encountered God, but I was almost 17 years of age when I first encountered Jesus. 17 years worth of sinning every day, mistake after mistake, indiscretion after indiscretion. You don't reckon I had about 1 billion sins that needed to be forgiven the day I encountered God? Probably about 1 billion. And it's not like that was the only day I needed God's forgiveness. Literally every day since then, I've needed the forgiveness, the mercy, the grace of God to forgive all the dumb things I've done since then. We are the people who've been forgiven like $1 billion worth of debt. And God is saying, when we've been forgiven such a massive debt and then choose to get upset with someone over one thing, over two things, even over 20,000 things. But that's not God's best for us. And in fact, how this story ends is the man who never passed on forgiveness got put into prison and was tortured. And really, that's what happens to us when we don't pass on forgiveness. We get put into a prison in our heart, in our mind, in our soul. Our thought life begins to mess with us. Our heart begins to torture us. Our emotions begin to get locked up because we are not called and created to walk around with offense in our heart. This is not how God has called us to live. And when we hold unforgiveness towards someone, when we don't pass it on, you see, what happens is we're not living right if we don't pass on unforgiveness. When we become a reservoir only receiving unforgiveness instead of a river passing on the blessing, we put ourselves in a position where we cannot receive anymore. And in doing that, we lock ourselves down to that moment. Because reservoirs don't move. Rivers keep moving, but reservoirs are stuck in one spot. I've once heard someone say that holding unforgiveness in our heart is like drinking poison and thinking it's going to hurt the other person. Truthfully, we will all get hurt in this world. It's about what we do when that happens. A few weeks ago, we had Planet Shakers Conference. And on the first day of Planet Shakers Conference, I was pumped up. I was excited. I was on my way in the morning, on the Wednesday morning. My car was low. It had been a busy few days, but I was ready. You know, we had a leadership event here during the day on the first day of conference. So I was driving here on the Wednesday morning, and I was coming down this street here in South Melbourne, and I saw that the traffic in the lane I was in was starting to bunch up a few hundred meters ahead. And so I shifted across into the left lane. And there I was driving my car in the left lane, going no more than 60 kilometers an hour, because 60 was the speed limit. Of course, I would never go more than that, ever. So there I was going no more than 60 in the left lane, abiding like a lawful citizen to the laws of this land and honoring the Lord with my driving. And I was driving down the road, 60, and I was watching ahead, and I watched this all unfold ahead of me. And while I was driving, I watched a car in the other lane, the lane I'd come from, like 100 meters back. I watched this car in the other lane realize, oh, I don't want to be in this lane anymore. And as he's doing that, I see him flick his indicator on, and before it's even blinked once, he just jams on his steering wheel and is about to come across into my lane. Now, I see this all unfolding. And like the lawful citizen that I am, going no more than 60, of course, I lifted my foot off the accelerator and got it ready next to the brake and just got onto my horn. And I'm like, yeah, you don't want to come across into my lane right now. I'm going 60. I don't want to hit you. No more than 60. I don't want to hit you. And so I just got on my horn to let him know, yo, I'm here. And I watched him hear the sound of the horn, actually bothered to look and see that I was coming. And he turned back into his lane. The moment he did that, I just kept on driving down the road. He, however, went back into his lane and screeched to a halt. And I'm like, oh, that must have really frightened him. Poor guy. So anyway, a few hundred meters up the road, I come to a stop in traffic. And I'm watching this guy come down the right lane. And he comes close to me and he starts to slow down. I thought, oh, he must be about to apologize because he almost hit me. And I thought, not a worry. And he pulls up next to me. He didn't have to pull up next to me. He could have kept driving down. It was a free lane for him. But he pulled up next to me. And I turned to look at my friend who's about to apologize. And I look at him and I go, oh, no, there's something wrong with him. He's very, very sick. And I knew he was sick because he was foaming out the mouth. I'm like, oh, there must be something wrong with him. And I thought, maybe the Lord has given me this opportunity to pray and see this man healed. But as I began to pay a little bit more attention, he began to say some words. And I don't know exactly what he was saying. It's really quite hard to ascertain. And as he was passionately saying these words, I thought, oh, he must be a nature lover. Because he started to make bird signals to me. I mean, not that exact one, like a different bird. Different kind of animal. I thought, oh, he loves animals. And he's just going crazy. He's like, bird signals. And I was so taken aback by this. I was so surprised. I'm like, I looked at him and I'm like, me? You're upset with me? He went to another level, baby. He was just going out of his ever-loving mind. It was amazing. Then I started to laugh. And that made him go to a whole nother level. People, when they're angry, don't like laughing, I'm telling you. Anyway, he just took off down the road. And I'm like, God bless you. Wonderful. And if you're here tonight, God bless you. You were in the wrong. We can pray for you later. I just want you to know that. If I hadn't made that clear by now, I'm a law-abiding citizen. You're not. But anyway, or if you're watching online, perhaps you were wrong. So I kept driving, praise God. And as funny as it was, at the same time, I was also in my head, I'm like, how dare you? Do you know who I am? I'm a leader. Do you know where I'm going? I'm going to church. We got a conference. Y'all, I'm a law-abiding citizen. You're dumb. And I started to get upset. I started to get offended. I turned to my wife and I started explaining it to my wife. I'm like, I didn't do anything wrong. I was in my lane. I'd been there for a while. I saw him coming. I just honked. He got back in his lane. I was doing the right thing. I'm a law-abiding citizen. Of course, I wasn't going more than 60. And I started to explain to my wife and detail it to her and start to justify my actions. She just turned and started laughing at me. She's like, you don't have to explain it to me. I was here the whole time. I did nothing wrong. This guy got so upset. And it's amazing. All I needed was her to say that I started laughing about it again, because it was amazing. Even though there was no consequence from that, there was no damage from that, something ruffled me and something got in my heart. And I'm like, hang on a sec, I'm offended. And then I realized, hang on a sec, it's the first day of conference. I ain't going to let the enemy steal my peace. I'm not going to get offended so easily. I'm going to walk into church. I thought, devil, don't you know who I am? I'm a leader. I got the power of God with me. I'm going to church, y'all. You can't get me as easily as that. I'm good. So I don't know about you, but I had a great first day of conference. I had a great first night of conference. Second day rolls around. I had a great second morning of conference. And then... I decided to order some food for lunch. And I'm not going to tell you who I ordered it from, but it was a particular online delivery company that doesn't rhyme with kangaroo. Potentially. And I ordered my food with this unnamed delivery company. And when my food arrived, But my drink did not. And so I ate the food because I was quite hungry. It was lunchtime. And then I decided, you know what, I'm gonna get in contact with this food delivery company. I'm gonna let them know something went wrong, they messed up. Not a worry, I'm not stressed. You can't get me that easily, enemy. I'll get a drink from somewhere else. You can just refund me at your convenience. We'll be good. And they email me back and they say, we need photographic evidence. And I emailed them and I'm like, how can I give you photographic evidence of something that never arrived? And so they said to me, because you cannot provide photographic evidence, we cannot refund you. And so I took my phone out and I took a picture of my hand. And I emailed them back and I said, will this do? And they said, no, it won't. And they refused to refund my drink. Now at this stage, I started to get quite upset. I started to get quite offended. I'm thinking about emailing them again and just blasting them, saying, are you for real? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know that I'm at a conference? I stand on stage at that conference. I could get up on that stage and tell them all about what you've done, but I would never do that. Yeah, I'm not that kind of guy. You know, I'm better than that. I would never let offense get the best of me like that. But I was getting so annoyed. But then I thought to myself, don't be so dumb. It's like $4. Just go buy another one, man. So I let it go, and I went and bought another one. And I give you, hand on my heart, after I got over my offense, then I put it up on my social media account. I don't know if any of you all follow me. You may not. If you don't, you can, at Rudy Nicker, it'd be good for you. But what? Stop it. But I put it up on my Instagram. And with all honesty, I was laughing the whole time I was doing it. I thought it was funny. But I can't be honest, I'm on social media a little bit, and I see people putting stuff up online all the time, and you know they're offended. People air their grievances on social media. I don't know where the wisdom is in that. In fact, I would suggest there is no wisdom in that. We go online and we say things like, no offense, but... And we go on to detail our offense. And people do it for all manner of reasons. We do it because we want to elicit some kind of response, some kind of sympathetic response. We do it to show what a bad time we've had. We do it to elicit some kind of, or show people how much of a martyr we are in life. And we put stuff up online and we put things out there in social media. But friends, there is a better way to live than that. There is a greater way to live than that. It is living with no offense. It is living by not allowing the enemy to get in our hearts, because it is torture. It is a prison to live with hateful thoughts towards someone or something in our own mind. Who you are helping the most when you forgive is yourself. Lord, you can come. Pastor Russell's told this story many times. I've heard him preach his story many times all over the world. And There's a story that he tells about a woman that was walking through Central Park in New York one night. And as she was walking through Central Park, someone came out from behind the shadows and attacked her, beat her, and ended up sexually assaulting this woman. And then beating her again till the attacker thought she was dead. The attacker fled, and it turns out this woman wasn't dead. And she kind of crawls and makes her way. Once she regains consciousness, she makes her way to the closest road, thinking that she might be able to flag down some assistance. And she gets to the road and sees all these headlights going past and is trying to capture someone's attention. And she sees finally a car pulling out from the traffic and pulling over to come and help her and render assistance to her. And someone gets out of the car and walks over to her. And lo and behold, it is the same person who's just attacked her. This gentleman proceeds to pull her back into Central Park and attack her, assault her again, and beat her until he is convinced that she's dead this time. Turns out she wasn't. And sometime later, she came to in hospital, and as I'm assuming would be normal procedure in cases like this, not only is a medical doctor attending to her physical body, but eventually when she's well enough to be conscious and hold a conversation, but then a psychological doctor will come to see to her mind. And this woman is lying in this hospital bed all bloodied and beaten, looking through her eyes at the psychologist that is sitting by her bedside. The psychologist begins to talk about her ordeal and what she's been through, and eventually leads the conversation to a question that the psychologist has to gather up enough courage to even ask this woman, and eventually asks this woman, do you think you would ever be able to find the strength to forgive this person? And this woman from her hospital bed stares back at this psychologist and opens her mouth. With effort, breathes out the words, "You don't understand. I'm a Christian. And that man may have taken one night of my life, but he's not taking any more. I've already forgiven him." You see, forgiveness Forgiveness is not just about being obedient to God. It's not just something we do to please God. Forgiveness is a better way to live, because the person whom you're really setting free when you forgive is yourself. But there's one more thing I want to share. Can we go deeper? One more thing. See, there's another level of power that God wants to release you into. When we hold on to offense, we tie ourselves back. But when we're free, this is the life God has for us. The Bible says in Mark 11, verse 23, "Listen to the truth I speak to you. If someone says to this mountain with great faith and having no doubt, 'Mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the midst of the sea,' and if they believe what they say will happen, it will be done. This is the reason I urge you to boldly believe for whatever you ask for in prayer. Believe that you have received it and it will be yours." Church, this is the life God has promised for us. That there is not a mountain that can stand in the way. There is no obstacle to our destiny that can slow us down. That whatever we ask for in prayer with the faith of God is ours in Jesus' name. When we ask for breakthrough, when we ask for miracles, when we ask for healings, when we ask for freedom, when we ask for peace, when we pray for hope, when we thank God for salvation, when we ask for these things with faith in our heart, God says yes and amen. That's His promise. Breakthrough and glory. Breakthrough and glory. That's His life. That's His promise for us. But you may be asking, "Yeah, but Pastor Rudy, what does this have to do with forgiveness? We know that's the life God has for us." Well, friend, the Bible goes on and says this in the very next verse. "And whenever you stand praying, praying for the mountain, praying for your breakthrough, praying for your healing, praying for forgiveness, praying for someone else, Whenever you stand praying, if you find that you carry something in your heart against another person, no offense, release them and forgive them, so that your Father in heaven will also release you and forgive you of your faults. But if you do not release forgiveness, you can't expect your Father in heaven to release you from your misdeeds. See, church, God is calling us forward into breakthrough and into glory. But unforgiveness and offense will continue to pull us backwards, tied to the past. We need to forgive the people that hurt us so badly long ago. And you also got to forgive the person who bumped into you in the foyer before the service and didn't even notice you. You got to forgive the person who wronged you deeply and forgive the person who just stepped on your toe in CL earlier. And everyone in between those two extremes. We got to forgive. We got to forgive quickly. The quicker you do it, the easier it is to do. We got to forgive freely. Freely you have received, freely you should give. Some of y'all sitting here, you got to forgive God. And you're like, hang on, that doesn't sound right. Theologically, in my understanding, God never does anything wrong. So, yeah, I know, God never does anything wrong. But sometimes we place our expectations on God and we expect Him to move in a certain way. We expect Him to answer our prayers in a certain way. We expect Him to break us out of the storm that we're in the middle of. But maybe, just maybe, God wants to leave you in the middle of the storm that you're in so that you can be a witness to everybody watching you. I don't know about you, but I serve the man and the man has a plan. But sometimes our plan doesn't line up with His plan. And even though God doesn't do any wrong, we hold unforgiveness towards God. We hold offense towards God. So you gotta forgive. You gotta forgive anyone and anything. And I'm not talking tonight about sending a text message. You know, everyone in the altar, get your phones out, send a text message to the person you're forgiving. You're like, okay, yo, you hurt me real bad, but I just want you to know I'm forgiving you, you know, because I'm the better person and all. And I'm not talking about that. What we actually need to do is come into God's presence and say, God, I repent to you because you forgave me and I haven't passed it on you. So first thing we need to do is repent. And then in the presence of God's power, He might tell you to go and have some conversations face to face with some people. But ultimately, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to set you free tonight. Because I know He's got breakthrough and He's got glory. He's got freedom and He's got liberty. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And wherever the Spirit is, there is liberty and there is freedom. That's what God has for you. That's what God has promised you. That's what He won for you on the cross. That's what's laid out waiting for you. And if you would open your heart and allow the forgiveness to flow tonight, I believe that God has got breakthrough ahead of you, that He has got glory ahead of you, that there is nothing that can hold you back.
We're so blessed that you joined us today. Thank you for being with us. We'd love to connect with you at church@planetshakers.com on an email or on any social media platform. Connect with us, and we want to pray for you and believing the best for you. And we'll see you next week. Don't miss out. God bless you.